Hello, my name is Regret. I'm pretty sure we have met. Every single day of your life, I'm the whisper inside that won't let you forget. Hello, my name is Defeat. I know you recognize me. Just when you think you can win, I'll drag you right back down again till you've lost all belief. Oh, these are the voices. Oh, these are the lies. And I have believed them for the very last time. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
In the early days of NASA's space travel program, they brought potential astronauts together. And one of the things they had them do was to write 20 answers to the question, who are you? How do you see yourself? So many times, if we really thought about how we see ourselves, can you imagine putting on a name tag? Defeated, regretful, depressed, broken, sinful. I've had to wonder about this question. If we thought about ourselves in terms of meeting greatness, wouldn't we often feel like we're not worthy? I mean, think about it just in this world. Let's say you were going to meet one of the most famous people in the world today, perhaps a famous athlete or a famous movie star, or maybe a king or a queen of one of the nations that still has royalty. And you had the opportunity to meet that person, maybe the first thing in your mind would be, I just don't measure up. Can you imagine now coming face to face with God. Having yourself plastered with all the "hello, my name is" name tags of your life, of my life, that really doesn't measure up to the grandness, the perfection, the awesomeness of who God is. Let me put it to you in this kind of way. If you could put a value on God's forgiveness, what amount would that be? Of God's forgiveness that changes us from who we are to who we can be. That changes us from the people who were not worthy to come before God to people who are now, because of God's forgiveness, not only worthy to come before Him, but worthy, get this, to spend eternity with Him in heaven. What's the value? What value would you place upon that? I looked it up, and once again, Bill Gates is the wealthiest man in the world. He lost the spot for 4 years. I was kind of sad for him, but he's got it back. He is now worth $79.1 billion. That's a lot. I tried to email him, suggest a tithe, but it didn't go through. It's a lot. Yet every one of us in this room would agree that even Bill Gates can't buy out God. He can't write a check and say, "God, I can do anything I want." And I don't know about his personal life. I don't really know about him. So we just know that even he can't write a check to say, "I'm going to purchase my way into your good graces. I am going to write such a big check that you have to forgive me. I'm going to give you so much, God, that I'm going to buy my way into heaven." None of us would believe that. We'd say, "No, you can't do that." Because as much as Bill Gates is worth, God is so much more valuable, right? Wouldn't you agree? So let me ask the question this way. What value would you place on your forgiveness? Oh, wait a minute, not the forgiveness you've received, but listen carefully, the forgiveness that you give to other people. If you could place a value on the forgiveness that you offer to family, friends, coworkers, classmates, neighbors, people who really tick you off, I imagine if we were honest right now in this room and we all began to write down some things about ourselves, if we took a name tag and said, "Hello, my name is," and at the bottom of that tag, there was a particular person's name that really is under your skin. Maybe it's been there for a couple of days. Maybe it's been there for a couple of decades. And your name might be, "Hello, my name is hurt. My name is injured. My name is angry. My name is vengeful." Because really, that's the normal way, isn't it? The normal way in which we respond to people who have hurt us is to either withdraw or to fight back, fight or flight. The people that hung around Jesus thought the same thing. They had the same kinds of questions. And perhaps one of the people who was closest to Jesus of all was a man named Peter. And we learn this in Matthew 18:21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me?" And he even loads it, says, up to seven times. I mean, that's what the law, the biblical law, the rules in the Bible had recommended, that up to seven times you can forgive somebody of the same thing that they've done to you, but on the eighth time, you don't have to forgive them anymore. And so, just wanting to clarify, Peter comes to Jesus and said, "Jesus, is that still true? Is it up to seven times? Could it be less than that? Is it possibly a little bit more than that?" And the question becomes, what is the value of forgiveness in my life on someone else? Just how many times do I have to release that person? What do I have to do in their life? And Jesus' answer is striking, surprising, if not shocking. Jesus said this, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." And I even put the footnote there that appears in most Bibles. And the footnote is at the bottom of the Bible. You'll see that the word 77, the Greek terminology that's used there, really is 70 times 7. And the way that is used, it could be interpreted either way, 77 times or 70 times 7. In other words, you're going to stop keeping track. It's going to be so many times that you've forgiven this person over and over and over and over. Should I go 77 times? Or 70 times 7 times? And over and over. It'd be the whole service, right? And forgive, 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 forgive. Really? You know, I see a lot of social media Facebook statuses. Are they called stati? I see a lot of them. And I see things that people write some really neat things, you know, and they'll say, I am forgiven by God. I've been forgiven by the one true King. I have never in my life yet, maybe you have seen it, I've never in my life yet seen a social media status that says, I love to forgive people. Try me. Wouldn't that be awesome? I dare you to put it on your social media today. Yeah. We don't do that, do we? We think about what we receive. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. God blesses me. But how many times do we put out there that this is who I am? Hello, my name is Forgiver. Well, Jesus is a great storyteller. We're in the middle of a series in which he's telling all these stories, and the story has a great point. In Matthew 18, he tells another one of these stories. Let me read a little bit of it to you. It's in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wants to settle accounts with his servants. Now, we know when Jesus is often talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about God's heaven. When he uses a king in the story, he's probably talking about God. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. I mean, I don't know how you would feel if someone forgave your car loan, or if someone canceled your mortgage, or if you're a business owner and someone came to you and got rid of the $500,000 you owe on your business, you'd be, I'm sure, overwhelmed. I mean, let's recap the story. There's a guy number one in the story. I just call him guy number one. He owed the king, it says, 10,000 bags of gold. The Greek language actually says 10,000 talents. We don't use the word talent. It was a term for money in that day. And it equals about 20 years of wages. So let's just pretend that you make $30,000 a year. I don't know what your income is, but we'll kind of say it's $30,000 a year. At 20 years, this guy would have owed the king over $500,000. And the king, the master, the owner of the debt, canceled it. I mean, what the man asked for, he says, give me time and I'll pay it back. Really? You're going to spend the next 20 years spending not a dime on food, on anything, and you're going to spend 20 years working and then pay me back? Really? You think you can do that? I don't. See, anytime that we want to pay God back, that we want to make it right, that we want to be good in order to outdo our bad, that we want to do nice things in order to cancel out our negative things in life, God looks at us and says, really? How about if I just cancel it? How about if you just do nothing at all, don't pay back a nickel of anything? How about if I send my son, Jesus Christ, he stretches out his arms on the cross, he bleeds and dies for you, and I cancel your debt? We go, awesome, I love this. Hello, my name is Forgiven. Facebook status, loved by the one true King. That's who I am. But Jesus keeps going. The story would have been great if he could have stopped right there. But he didn't. Verse 28. When that servant, who's that servant? Guy number one. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants, guy number two, who owed him 100 silver coins. He, guy number one, grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back," the exact same phrase. But guy number one refused. Instead, he went off and had guy number two thrown into prison until he could repay the debt. Let's review. There's a guy number two. He owed guy number one. What is it? 100 silver coins. The Greek language calls it 100 denarii. That would be about 100 days' wages. So with the same $30,000 per year income, that's a little bit less than $10,000. Now notice, that's a chunk of change. I mean, Jesus didn't so lowball it that the guy owed him a quarter. He says, you know, he still owed some, a significant thing. And what did the man do? He demanded payment. In other words, it's a story about forgiveness. Because Peter asked the question, how often shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? You see, we don't have trouble forgiving somebody who does something super small in life. We don't have trouble forgiving somebody who says, like, hey, your shoes are untied. Right? That's not a big deal. I don't have trouble forgiving somebody who comments on my lack of hair follicles. I just refer them to 1 Kings, where Elijah calls upon God and bears come down and eat people who make fun of bald guys. And that's all I do. We don't have trouble with certain things in life, but we have trouble when there are other kind of things in life, when people do them and they sin against us. It's grievous. It's big. It's $10,000 big. Forgetting the fact that we've already been forgiven a $500,000 debt. We remember the $10,000 grievous, painful jab that someone else has given to us. Here's what Jesus says about it. When the other servants, guys number 3, 4, 5, 6, and 9, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master, that's God, called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Let's review. Guy number one is jailed and tortured. Jesus goes on in verse 35, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." What? Really? If I harbor unforgiveness, I'll be, figuratively speaking, jailed and tortured by God? I mean, what's the leap that Jesus is talking about here in his own words? If I refuse to forgive someone who has sinned against me, then I am no longer worthy of forgiveness myself? What would jailed and tortured be in this story, the imagery? To me, it has to be, I don't like it, but it has to be a picture of hell itself. I guess it's like this, is that if I've received so much and not able to give some of that away, if my Facebook status is only what God has done for me and not what I am to do for others, if I misunderstand the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, but I forget commandment number two, to love your neighbor and is anyone around you like you love yourself. If I miss that piece, I miss the first piece. If I miss the first, I miss all of it. Forgiveness? So think of that person for a moment who's at the bottom of your name tag. It might be a mom or a dad who did something to you when you were young that you carry around like a bag of rocks. It might be an aunt or an uncle or not a relative or somebody from childhood or somebody from this morning who did something to you that makes you angry. And it's undeniable that they have sinned against you. And the only question you have is not whether or not it's classified as sin or pain or wrong. The only question you have is, what will you do with it? What will you do with it? A woman named Corrie ten Boom lived in Europe at the outbreak of World War II. She and her family made a safe place for Jews to live. They converted their home and built false walls, and Jews could come and hide from the Nazis and live there. Eventually, they were ratted out and found out, and they themselves, the Ten Boom family, were taken away to concentration camps. Corrie ten Boom's entire family was wiped out. Her father, brother, and actually, she was in the same concentration camp with her sister. And because of the abuse, because of all the things that took place, she watched her sister slowly, slowly, slowly die before her eyes. And just before her release, just before the release of all of the Jews, her sister died. Corrie ten Boom later, she was a Christian, by the way, later went on the speaking tour and began to talk to Christians all across Europe and then all across America and then all across the world about God's forgiveness for her, until something in particular happened to her that shook her life. I'd like you to take a look at this. You'll hear the voice of a woman who's now deceased, a dear saint of the world, Corrie ten Boom.
Source of our strength is Jesus Christ himself. And his cross shows us that we can accept suffering as a part of God's plan for this world. When I was in a concentration camp, one of the most terrible things I had to go through was that they stripped us of all our clothing. And we had to stand. The first time was the worst. I said, Betsy, I cannot bear this. And suddenly it was as if I saw Jesus at the cross. And the Bible tells, they took his garments, he hung there naked. And I knew he hung there for me, for my sins. And by my suffering, I understood a fraction of the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it made me so thankful that I could bear my suffering. Love, so amazing, so divine, demands my life, my soul, my all. Some people are afraid to look at the cross. Are you? Don't be afraid. The cross is terrible. It is terrible how Jesus suffered. Not to describe. But you must not be afraid to look at it. For if you had been the only person in the world, Jesus should have suffered for your sins. At the cross, where I first saw the light, And the burden of my sins rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I have guidance every day. It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, "Ah, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me?" And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers, guards, in the concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian, I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom won't see me forgiven. Will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. Do you know that Jesus has said that? When you do not forgive those who have sinned against you, my Heavenly Father will not forgive you your sins. And I knew, I'm not ready for Jesus coming because I have no forgiveness for my sins. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. The love of God is shed abroad into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus, that you have brought into my heart God's love through the Holy Spirit who is given to me. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness." That same moment, I was free. And I could say, "Brother, give me your hand." And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
My takeaway from that, at least from my life, is that if anyone has done something to me less than that Nazi overseer, the concentration camp guard, did to Corrie Ten Boom, my takeaway is that I don't have a right not to forgive them. As a pastor, I see so many people who've held on to things for so long. Mothers not speaking with daughters, fathers with sons, brothers with sisters, childhood friends. Can we say that there is no place for that in the kingdom of God? None. None. God's love and forgiveness for you is so complete, so valuable, that you have resources at your disposal. 500,000, 1,000,000. just a little bit more than Bill Gates, $79.2 billion worth of forgiveness to give away. To give away. Let's pray about it. We need prayer about it. This is a hard, hard topic, God. It becomes very real to us when we see the depth of your love for us. But if we have it, if we truly possess your forgiveness, then it becomes a commodity that we have to offer into the lives of others. So God, I say, hello, my name is Forgiver. Perhaps today, Lord, some people will need to go home and do some work. Make a phone call, make a visit, send off a message, start a conversation. I pray that you give them grace and strength as they do so. Oh, we love you and bless you. It is in your name we pray. Amen.